The silver tsunami is a real phenomenon that we are only experiencing the very first ripples of, says David Sherman, a UBC medical resident and one of only four physicians in its geriatric psychiatric program. He says, our society is going to have the kind of aging population that we have never seen before. So over the next 25 years, this wave of seniors will change how all of us view aging, retirement, sexuality, relationships, family, and dying. They will change their society because they always have. They are the baby boomers, born between 1945 and 1965, and today are between the ages of 52 and 68. They were the generation that was born after World War II, and they are significant because simply their numbers. The boomer generation, because they constitute a third of the whole population of Canada, have had significant social, economic, and cultural effects on the rest of the population in the last 60 years. Now, in the spirit of full disclosure, I must tell you, I am a member of this boomer generation. And so, as a member, I probably have a bias, and I will try to acknowledge my bias as I speak. There are many opinions about the effect that the contributions and changes that have been created by the boomer generation. There are certainly plenty of critics and plenty of positiveness about them. One agreement that you'll find is that this generation has had an effect on the entire culture as they grow in age. Now, one image to describe the generation is of a snake who's just eaten an elephant. Okay? A bit impossible, but it is a vivid image of something very large moving through something much smaller. And from that image, you might in fact wince at the uncomfortableness of that snake trying to swallow the elephant. Or you might simply notice that an elephant going through a snake cannot be ignored. It's dramatic at the least. And so is the effect of the boomer generation on the society that it's moving through. The boomers entered post-war, as I said. They entered a society ready to rebuild with enthusiasm and with hope. Women returned to their families after having tasted meaningful work outside of the house and plunged into homemaking and child rearing. Fathers returned to civilian jobs and plunged into creating security and safety for their families. Parents turned to an influential pediatric doctor for advice on raising children, Dr. Spock, who advocated a child-centered approach to raising children. The boomers emerged out of this cocoon of hope, renewal, safety, security, and self-centered child raising into their teenage years. As teenagers, they began to exercise their identities. They began to claim their particularly unique tribal attributes. Their key generational characteristics are experimentalization, individualism, free spiritness, and social cause orientation. Now, note that I'm not saying that they invented these attributes. Many other generations had them. I'm just saying that as a group that big moving through society, those attributes had a profound effect on everyone else. The boomer generation entered their teenage years and young adult years with all that rebellion of youth energy, and also with all the idealism of youth, funneled through their particular characteristics of experimentalization, individualism, free-spiritedness, and an orientation towards social justice. Freedom was the drumbeat, the source of their experiments. Freedom to be, freedom to think, freedom to choose, freedom to create change based on values of equity, equality, true democracy, and justice. Well, isn't that what their parents and grandparents had fought for? Freedom? And so they plunged in. They questioned everything. Big buttons, question authority. And they worked to redefine what authority meant. They introduced the language of power, the analysis of power in relationships, in education, in politics. They questioned gender roles, and they worked to create equality for women and equality for gay, lesbian, and questioning folk. They questioned the rules around sexual expression, and they worked to change them. They questioned the structures of racism, and they worked to change those. They questioned the effectiveness of how humans communicated, and they introduced encounter groups and trust circles, women's groups, men's groups. They questioned the education system and changed it by bringing in new ideas. Rather than telling children what to learn, they began to ask the children what the children were interested in learning. And they questioned religion. They questioned the role of churches in religion, and they embraced an individual approach to spirituality. Many went on spiritual journeys to ashrams in India or communities like Finhorn and Lindsay Farm. They questioned the patriarchal religious system. They asked, is God a woman? Why can't women be our spiritual leaders, the imams and rabbis and priests? And they began to change that too. They questioned the definitions that we held of reality and explored alternative realities through the experimentation into psychedelic drugs, meditation, and alternative spiritual practices. They wanted a first-hand experience of the divine, the sacred, and they went looking for it. Lots of change was created out of their desire to question, to experiment, and to work for change. Now that impulse towards freedom, that was a worthy one. As the generation before them fought for freedom against the tyranny of dictators and fascism, the boomers focused on that freedom of the individual. Now this is my perspective. And I admit it all sounds pretty good. And I do have my blinders on. I do think a lot of what the boomers did was good, and some still are doing good. But there's also a shadow side of this. The shadow side of focusing on the self is that the world can become less important than one's own interests, one's own sensibilities, and one's own comforts. Self-actualization can easily slip into self-indulgence. And with age, as the baby boomers age, there comes a desire for more comfort. So this desire for comfort has grown. And the baby boomers became more ready to choose a path of that comfortable life. For some, freedom turned into pleasure seeking, and pleasure seeking turned into hedonism or consumerism. Now, consumerism in itself is not a problem, but it becomes a problem when it becomes disconnected from the consequences of that consumerism. When we only want what we want, and do not recognize where what we want comes from, or who made it, or who brought it to us, or what that real cost of the car, that shirt, that food, or that cell phone is. When we disconnect from the world and the consequences of our choices, then we get into an imbalance, and someone else ends up paying for the cost of our comfort. For these boomers, freedom lost its depth, lost its breadth, lost its connectedness to the rest of the society and the world. To really explore the path of freedom, which I believe is that underlying impulse for this generation, this requires a commitment to self-awareness and responsibility, not self-indulgence. Let me just get a little philosophical for a moment here. When I was a university student, I studied the work of Rudolf Steiner. Steiner's main work was called The Philosophy of Freedom. And in it, he says that true freedom can only be reached when we lift ourselves out of the biases or perspectives of our family, our nation, our ethnic group, and our religion. The individual must become fully aware not only of their own thoughts, but the roots of those thoughts. The thoughts that inform the choices we make, that inform our impulses, must come only from our own creative, imaginative ability to meet the world directly. In order to be free, Steiner says, we must consciously choose freedom and actively strive toward freedom. Only then do we have a chance of attaining it. Only when we have realized our potential to meet the world directly as unique individuals, disconnected from society, religions, family belief systems, are we free. Freedom, real freedom, is a spiritual commitment. It is dynamic and a challenging process of meeting our world directly. It is this deeper meaning of freedom that I hope the boomers live out as they enter the last third of their lives. How will they meet the world directly when we are possibly afraid of what's changing in our bodies, changing in our minds? How will our impulse towards freedom shape the experience of aging and dying? How will our sense of independence need to change as we age? And how does that independence change with that idea of freedom? Now, I know there are many in this room that have personal experience of aging. I think all of us. But aging and dying, we know it. Ourselves, our family, friends. You know what I'm talking about. And you know that my father recently passed away at the age of 90. And my own mother is halfway through her 88th year. When I look for a model of how to approach my aging and my dying, I don't go farther than my own mom and dad. What my dad taught me about aging, what I observed is everyday activities, they get harder and things take longer. Freedom means that you have a choice, though, in how you respond. Dad, he didn't stop. He slowed down and he exercised the patience that is required. And he adapted. He was always the cook and the shopper in our family. And so when he couldn't walk to the store or drive anymore, he got a scooter and he got to the store on his scooter. When he could no longer stand in the kitchen to prepare dinner, he pulled in a stool to sit on and made dinner that way. I also learned from my dad that as we age, we need to be deliberate about creating moments of pleasure. Every evening, he would stop. It was part of his ritual of the day, and enjoy a glass of wine or a finger of scotch. And he would relish the moment. My mom continues to show me that aging requires creativity and commitment to stay connected to others. She has used her freedom to meet the world directly by continuing to create and hold on to community. I see her courage not to give up and fade away, even though she has lost her own generation of friends and colleagues. So she reaches out to younger generations by engaging and in supporting their lives. And she keeps learning. She keeps working. She has rejected the societal expectation that aging means losing your agency. As some of you know, when she was 70, she created a theater company that was focused on seniors. And recently, as in this month, she's been part of a team of intergenerational artists who are exploring the use of technology and theater. This keeps her alive, relevant, exercises her freedom to choose what she can in her life. She struggles with choosing to stay in bed for a day to recover. Her mind would like to go more, and she has to gracefully accept that her body needs time and gentleness and recuperation, nurturing. I see many of you doing these same sorts of things. I see many of you rejecting the definitions of societal aging and defining your experience on your own terms, and with courage, and with determination and patience, and with creativity. I take inspiration from you. I take inspiration from you who go before me, before my generation. Yes, the boomers might have the numbers to make changes in their society, but you, those who went before us, you are our teachers, our mentors. So what can we predict of this big elephant of a generation that's moving through the snake? What are they going to do in the last third of their lives? Well, as I've said, simply because of their astounding numbers, they are going to change the whole of society. They're going to focus the entire society on aging and the requirements, the demands, the inspiration of aging. Practically speaking, there's going to be pressures on the medical field to solve illnesses like dementia, arthritis, and there's the wearing out of body parts that will inspire new inventions and new techniques. There will be a need to creatively respond to housing for the elderly and care for the elderly. Spiritually, as the last third of our lives is generally the time when we dig down into meaning, the meaning of life, I predict that our entire society will be questioning what the purpose of our lives are. And out of this reflection, I hope that my generation will transform our society as we did in our youth. I hope we continue to listen to that drumbeat for freedom, continue to question and challenge and live into what freedom really means. I hope our legacy is a transformed world, a world transformed by values of equality, true democracy, and justice. Now, even though many of you are not part of this silver tsunami, believe me, everybody's going to be riding that wave. And the challenge for all of us is to live our lives from a place of freedom. Real freedom is a spiritual commitment. It is dynamic and challenging. It is a process of meeting that world our world directly. So let us do it together and build a land where justice and peace roll down like an ever-flowing stream, and we build a world transformed with our care. Let us now sing 121 in your gray hymnal.